wonder what God thinks of our requests to Him when we come to Him in prayer. What does God think about what's behind those requests? Listen to this. From April 2013 to March of this year, 2014, the singer Beyoncé was on her Mrs. Carter tour, the Mrs. Carter show, touring the country. And it was reported that when she would arrive at each venue on tour, Beyoncé would have a certain set of demands. Here's some examples. For example, she demanded that all crew members participating in the production wear 100% cotton clothing at all times. She required that alkaline water be provided, and the water must be chilled to 21 degrees and served with $900 titanium straws. I didn't even know they made titanium straws, let alone how much they cost. At each venue, she required that the bathrooms have new toilet seats and red toilet paper. She required that hand-carved ice balls should be made after each show for her to cool down her throat. And she also required that before she arrived, that particular dressing rooms would be refurbished entirely, remodeled if necessary. These would be luxury dressing rooms that were typically large enough to accommodate an entire sports team. Just some examples of her requests as she traveled. You ever wonder how God perceives our requests? At Christmas time, it's helpful to remember that the King of all creation came as a baby in a stable, in a manger. The King who could provide for himself whatever riches he desired came as a baby in a stable. If that teaches us anything about prayer and our request, it teaches us that our request should reflect the nature of God, not what we want, but the character and the nature of God. Now, each time, or at least nearly each time, that Jesus teaches on prayer, that he talks about prayer, he does it in the context of requests. He tells us to make requests and petitions, to ask in His name, and to ask and you will receive. So clearly, God not only expects us to make petitions and to ask things of Him, He encourages it. But I believe, as we learn in Scripture, that God encourages that because it is the opening of that conversation. It's not the whole conversation. It's designed to be the opening of the conversation in the relationship we have with God. And what we're going to see tonight and be reminded of as well tonight is that prayer, and the key to answered prayer, is that it is a conversation in relationship. A prayer is not part of our religion, and it's not ritual, it's not duty, and it's not obligation. It is a conversation in relationship with God, and that's how Jesus teaches it. That's what it should be. So return with me tonight to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Find there in your Bible 14, verse 11, as we pick up in John 14. And Jesus teaches this. He says, starting at verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Clearly, Jesus is teaching that the core of prayer is a conversation. It's a conversation in relationship. In another place, one which we will come to later in our study of John, John chapter 15 and verse 7, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. It sounds very much like verse 14 that we just read. Ask anything in my name, and I will do it. In chapter 15, verse 7, remain in me, or abide in me, as many of us have learned it, and ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. Abiding means remaining in constant relationship with Christ. So the key to answered prayer is simply relationship. It's not duty, it's not obligation, it's relationship. And prayer is a conversation in relationship. God has at the front and center encouraging us to ask in that relationship. It reminds us of the way we treat our children. Often the conversation of their needs and their desires and their future and what's right and what's wrong begins with a request. A child comes to a parent and asks them, may I have this? May I do this? Is this okay? And that opens the door to a conversation. Remembering the reason they come to the parent in the first place is the relationship. And I believe God is teaching similarly in Scripture that asking opens the door to the conversation. God loves to grant the request of His children if they are in keeping with the will of God. But mostly, God wants us to open that door and see that as a relationship, a conversation in relationship. Jesus qualifies it with a couple of teachings tonight, a couple of truths. I want us to see that. First, Jesus teaches that we should ask with confidence. When we talk to God in conversation, in prayer, when we make requests of God, we should ask with confidence. He says, believe me that I am in the Father is in me, otherwise believe because of the works themselves. In verse 12, I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. Now, the word translated believe in this passage refers to a confident faith, a confident asking. It means that we are confident in our relationship with God, and we believe that He will act on our behalf. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 applies this confidence to prayer in saying, therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, or some translations call that bold confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. Confidence. So when Jesus says, ask and believe, He says, do it with confidence. Come to me with confidence. Don't be afraid. Don't be weak in your asking. Ask with confidence and believe in Christ and your relationship with Christ that He will respond, and He'll always respond in keeping with the will of God. That brings us to the second thing Jesus teaches. In verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. In other words, He's saying, ask with reverence. You can ask with confidence, but that confidence should not be prideful. It should not be arrogant. It should not make assumptions or presumptions. Instead, ask with reverence. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do that so the Father will be glorified. So if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, in ancient times, the name was associated with the individual's character. It was an application of their character. So when Jesus says to pray in His name, He's not talking about just attaching His name to the prayer. It's not only that at the end of the prayer we say, in Jesus' name, while that's the right thing to do. When you and I say at the end of the prayer, in Jesus' name, we are verifying our belief that what we have just prayed coincides with the character of Jesus Christ. That's what that means. It's not that we're pressing some magic button and God automatically answers that prayer. No, what we're saying is, God, I believe everything I just prayed is in keeping with the will of God, and I'm so confident of that, I will pray this in the character of Christ and put His name on it. So what prayers are answered in relationship? What prayers happen in that conversation? They are prayers in the conversation, in that relationship, that are in keeping with the character of Almighty God and Jesus Christ. The flip side is fairly obvious. Christ is not going to answer prayers that are out of His character, because out of His character means out of His will. But if we're in right relationship with God through Christ, we are praying in relationship, in that conversation, and in the character of Christ. That's what it means to pray in His name. Now, Jesus views prayer as part of an intimate relationship with Him, a relationship that is so connected, a relationship so deep, an abiding relationship between you and Him, that He welcomes those prayers because He believes they will reflect and resonate with His very desires, His very character. A believer should never come and pray prayers that are outside of the character of God. We do it often, but we shouldn't do that. We should be so well-versed in the Word of God and the character of God that our prayers reflect His character and His will. And by that, we know where we are participating in the very things of God, what God desires. And that's what Jesus teaches. Jesus teaches we can come to the throne of God confidently in relationship with Him because of Christ. We can come believing as well, but we also come praying in reverence, asking in character, in His character, in His name, meaning reverently before the throne of God. We don't make any presumptions or assumptions, but when we're praying in God's will and we know it, we can be confident in that. That's our relationship with the Father. It's not hard to reflect off of the morning message series. I feel like I have to say here, we are the only faith that believes in this relationship, that believes that Jesus Christ, God Himself, has come to us and built this relationship, and in that, so wants to communicate and have a conversation in this relationship. He so wants you to participate with Him that He is teaching you how to pray. He is teaching you how to pray because He wants you to come confidently into His presence to enjoy and participate in His character. In another place, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount about prayer, and you'll notice that He distinguishes between the common notion of religion, that it's duty, that it's obligation, or that it's outward appearance, and instead the teaching of God Himself, that it's relationship. He says, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, Jesus is not teaching that you and I should never pray in public. That's not what that's about. It's about an attitude of the heart. It's about that reverence of character. It's about that relationship that says, even when I pray in public, I am praying in relationship to my God. And I'm praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because I have an abiding, intimate relationship with the Father because of Christ. Jesus Himself teaches us to pray. And when He teaches us to pray, He teaches us it is a conversation in relationship with our Heavenly Father through Christ. In 2013, the motion picture Gravity, Sandra Bullock played an astronaut who, because of an accident, is left alone in space. And toward the close of the film, near the end of the film, she believes in her isolation and her loneliness, she believes she's going to die. So in that, as many people do at that point in their lives, she starts talking to God. And this is what she says. She says, I'm going to die, aren't I, God? I know, we're all going to die. We're all going to die, but I'm going to die today. And it's funny that you ought to know that, but the thing is, I'm still scared. I'm really scared. She says, nobody will mourn for me. No one will pray for my soul. Then she says, will you pray for me? Will you mourn for me? Or is it too late? I mean, I'd pray for myself, but I've never prayed in my life. And nobody ever taught me how. Nobody ever taught me how, she says. The good news of the Word of God is Jesus Christ teaches us how. God Himself has come to us in Christ and said, let me have a relationship with you and let me teach you how to talk to God, to converse in that relationship, to participate in the character of God, in the work of God, in the great things of God. And let me tell you, most of all, God loves you so much, He wants to answer your prayers that are prayed in His will and His character. God wants to answer your prayers. So when you pray in relationship with God, you can know you're talking to Almighty God, the God who loves you in Christ, and it's because of Christ we know that and we have that relationship. With that, let me pray for us. God, our Heavenly Father, tonight we just praise You and thank You, God, that we can pause and pray and have this relationship with You. Father, every person in here has needs on their hearts and concerns on their minds, God. And maybe sometimes we think, Father, we don't know how to bring that to Your throne, but we are reminded tonight, God, it's a conversation. We just need to talk to You. Reverently, lovingly, God, to talk to You, Father. And You know our hearts and You know our needs. Even before we ask, God, You know what's on our hearts and our minds tonight, Father. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, we can confidently come to the throne of God. We can come into Your presence. We can know of your love, God. We can know of your power in our lives. We can know of your grace toward us because of Christ. So, Father, tonight, on behalf of all of us, I lift up each of our needs, each of our burdens and desires. I lift up the people that we're concerned about, the struggles that we face. We lift them up to you, God. We come confidently to your throne. On behalf of all of us, God, I lift up the holiday season, the Christmas, and the traveling, Father, the friends and the family that we'll see. We give you all of that, God. And we lift up to you our thanks and our praises, Father, for allowing us to have this relationship with you in Christ. So, God, tonight we love you. We praise you. We thank you, Father. And we pray, God, that in all things, God, we would grow in prayer. We would grow in that confidence. We would grow in that reverence, God. And we would daily, often, come into your presence to talk, come into your presence to ask, come into your presence to pray, as we do even now. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all stand.